Happy Halloween time! I'm Roz Hernandez. I'm a comedian and the host of the paranormal comedy podcast, Ghosted by Roz Hernandez, produced by Starburns Audio. On my podcast, I talk to famous people, comedians, experts, and listeners about all things paranormal. We're talking Ouija boards, poltergeists, aliens, psychics, demons, Bigfoots, and of course, ghosts. My podcast is weekly all year long, and I've got over 3 years of episodes currently available for all your spooky needs. Recent guests include Patton Oswalt.
But it felt like the minute I walked away from the monitors and I couldn't see anything, that's when the ghost started moving around.
Naomi Ekperigin.
A ghost isn't like somebody, it's not like a return. It's like somebody who was like, I don't feel like leaving.
And Chris Colfer.
Whatever it was slowly just disappeared. And that's when I knew, oh, that was not a person.
Subscribe to Ghosted by Roz Hernandez on Apple Podcasts and everywhere you get podcasts.
During the spookiest time of the year, there are a few guidelines all ghosts and goblins should follow. Always stay on sidewalks. Never go to a stranger's house. And never go out alone.
Darkness falls across the land. The midnight hour is close at hand. Creatures crawl in search of blood to terrorize your neighborhood.
I am the devil, and I am here to do the devil's work.
You know, it's Halloween. I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
All right, boys, goblins and ghouls!
Halloween from the Boogie Monster.
Oh boy.
Boogie Monster AM.
That's right. Early morning Boogie. It's good day Boogie. Good morning Boogie.
Good day Boogie. Yeah.
After commercial break,
Boogie mornings.
Kyle Kinane, comedian Kyle Kinane's going to come in and show us how to make potato salad. Those are the worst.
It's, you know, but it's got to be comforting. You can't confront people with aggro shit.
That's true. That early in the morning.
I want to hear a couple of silly ladies.
Oh, local news.
I never want to give credit to social media, but man, so, I mean, the algorithms got me as far as comedy videos go. Mm-hmm. And there was one of like, it's the newscaster doing a report on a woman who got struck by lightning and you know how it's miraculous that she was in a coma and she came out of the coma, and they go to a video clip of the woman after she's out of the coma, but the video clip is sticking. So she just sounds like Max Headroom.
Oh no.
And then the newscaster, like I am incredibly weak when it comes to people that should not be laughing, cracking up.
Yeah.
Jimmy Fallon aside, newscasters, anytime when they're like, ah, fuck it, this is funny, and mm-hmm. they just can't help it. Ah, oh, man, it gets me.
Yeah.
I'm a simple man.
Yeah, I like that stuff too.
You know, what's going on, buddy?
Dude, I'm looking out the 11th floor window of a beautiful hotel in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Oh yeah, buddy! You're getting eating all the mud bugs you can get your little face on,
dude. It's just been absolute chaos. It's been crazy.
Let's recap, Dave. You taped your first ever comedy special.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Last Thursday in Atlanta at the Earl. I've been blabbering about this for months, and mm-hmm. you know. We both kind of are cut from the same cloth of like, you know, if you do well, it's like, yeah, A, that's what I do, or that's what I'm supposed to do. And B, if, you know, if I crushed, I let other people say I crushed, you know.
Yeah.
I always hate that, like when comics get off still, oh, man, fucking crushed. You did okay.
Yeah.
It honestly could not have gone better. It went better than I even anticipated. Like, just, it was just great. I had a ton of fun. Like,
hell yeah, buddy.
Yeah, everything was great. The crowd was great. I felt great. I was in good spirits. And, you know, I haven't seen the finished product, but I anticipate it's going to be what I wanted. You know, set out to do what I did what I set out to do. So I'm very, very pleased.
Nice.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks, man. It was a lot of fun. And, yeah, it was just a great night. And we've talked about this. I like to try to control every component of the show, like to make sure that even the smallest details. Mm-hmm. So even the pre-show music, I made this whole playlist and even had, you know, I don't want to bore you with some of my stupid shit that I like doing. Well, but
you're not boring me. You're boring all of the listeners.
But I had a fun playlist that was DJ'd by Uncle Cecil. So he was there.
Yeah.
He works for a radio station, WTRD, Weeturd 105.7. They were broadcasting live from the Earl. So that was fun. Katie was there to hand out Little Debbie snacks. I don't know where I got this idea. Just a week or two before, I was like, I think I was thinking about years ago when I used to do background, not even background, just audience work for terrible game shows in L.A.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so,
I had friends do that.
So. Yeah, I used to do that a lot, and it was grueling. But about every 20 minutes, they'd stop and hand out little candy bars to keep our blood sugar up, to keep us hyper and laughing. So I thought, why not have, right before the show, why not have Katie go around and hand out Little Debbie treats? So she did that, and that, and people seemed to enjoy
that.
Yeah,
right.
Just really try to just create like a fun, silly atmosphere. And, yeah. Everything clicked and just had a fun set, did all the material I wanted to do. I was doing, I think I did like 70 or 75 minutes, which is much longer than I typically do. But I'm going to cut that down to about 60. But was like physically getting tired by the end. Like, oh, I'm not used to, you know, usually I'll do a headlining set. I'll do about 50 is what I usually do. But I did an extra 20, 25 and started to lose my voice a little bit at the very end, but all in all,
Didn't have that comedy cardio in place?
Yeah, I guess. You know, and I was running on this run, I was doing probably 65, 70, but I threw in a couple extra things just to see what, you know, give myself some options as far as cutting it down to 60 to see which bits I'm going to cut. But,
Smart move.
Yeah, just an absolute, just fun atmosphere. The crowd was great. Had several people. I talked about a few weeks ago, anybody traveling over 100 miles to come see the show, let me know, and I'll put you on the guest list. Had 22 people take me up on that. I gave everybody a plus one. So I had 11 listeners or 11 whomever who apparently traveled more than 100 miles. So that was flattering. But just a hoot, man. And it's great to be back.
I'm proud of you, man.
Thanks, man. So we'll see. And I don't know what the timeline is as far as this getting, you know, out into the zeitgeist, but hopefully within a few months, this thing will be up and running. So we'll see.
Hell yeah, dude.
But yeah, overall, a great run. You know, did, 10 or 11 cities in about 2 weeks. And
I was going to say, you prepped for it pretty hard.
Yeah, I went pretty hard. Just trying to do shows pretty much every night for a few weeks leading up to it. And all the shows were fun. And, just the culmination of, like, the end of the tour, ending in Atlanta with the special. And then I stayed an extra 4 days in Atlanta after that. And, just absolute chaos because I was I was doing pretty good on my diet and everything leading up to it, even though in Nashville I had a little bit of fun. But, it was like, all right, the thing that I was prepping for is over with. Crack my knuckles. Let's fucking get it on. And ate my way through Atlanta.
Get a cut loose.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah, would you get all your faves?
Oh, hit all the hot spots, man. Homegrown, Fox Brothers, Eats.
Get yourself a comfy.
Yeah, I got the comfy. Just a good time, dude. Just I love being back in Atlanta, seeing some old friends, and had a great little Airbnb that was literally two blocks from the club. So just right there in East Atlanta Village. I love that neighborhood. But, great tour, fun special. you know, fun week after that. Now we're kind of slowly making our way home, and we decided to stop in New Orleans for a couple nights. So now I'm just wreaking havoc on New Orleans as far as all the good eats.
Yeah, in case there's any butter left in the entire Southeast region, in the Gulf Coast region of the United States, you're going to make sure not for long.
No, no, not at all, man. Oh, yesterday went to Koshan. Oh, yeah. My God, dude.
Yeah, I saw those pictures. What kind of weirdo stuff?
Oh, man, you had some hogshead cheese, had some boudin balls, fried catfish.
So, and hogshead cheese is just like the...
It's
what would they call that? A collage of undesirables,
yeah,
coagulated in a jelly.
Yeah, yeah. I think they scrape all the meat and whatnot from the head.
Get you a some mosaic of unwanted bits.
Boy, I don't know what they do to it, but they make lemonade out of lemons, man. That was good stuff. Get to had a little homemade sweet pickles, some crackers. Put that on there. Mm. Boudin balls, fried catfish, had this thing they called Louisiana Cochon. It's basically pork shoulder, but their technique, like it was so elaborate that I even lost the guy who was describing it to me. But they just basically it's pulled pork, but they braise it in a cast iron skillet, and then they kind of mold it back together in kind of a loose patty, and then sear that again and serve it on a bed of collard greens.
Loose patty.
Yeah, loose patty of pulled pork meat. Oh, boy. It was fantastic.
Girl in college named Loose Patty.
Oh, boy. I bet you did. Yeah, and then this afternoon we're going to go eat this good seafood. Katie was like, can we eat something other than pork?
She's been through it. I got to side with Katie on this one. There's only so much of even the thing you like where you're like, I got to stop. I got to put clean food in the system.
Yeah. Yeah. It's. I'm going to party for about another day, and then on the way home, we'll be hitting some Whole Foods and Panera to kind of balance out the damage that I've done. But yeah, she's been a trooper.
I mean, yeah, I could see once you hit New Mexico and Arizona, but you're gonna make it through Texas without one last stab at some barbecue.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Probably not. I'll probably have to get a little more. But we shot this little thing Sunday morning at Fox Brothers, just a little closing credit scene. I won't spoil it. It's nothing elaborate, just this little thing to play over the closing credits, and they fed me for the props. Like we needed, you know, a shot of me eating.
Oh yeah,
but we had to do it at 8:30 in the morning. So even at 8:30 Sunday morning, I'm still just shoveling it in brisket and potato salad and beans. And she was like, "How are you doing this?" I'm like, "Hey, I'm a great actor, you know."
Yeah, like,
whatever the part calls for.
I got a blood pressure machine if you want me to send that to you. Just you know, like a little home monitoring. I'm like, all right, let me look at my numbers.
Yeah.
Just keep an eye on your numbers, buddy.
Yeah, I probably should. But, good stuff.
Yeah, I had the opposite. I drank it on TGI Fridays every night last weekend.
There you go.
Me and old Rojo Perez.
Yeah, in what?
After the shows.
Addison?
In Addison, Texas. Mm-hmm. Not a lot going on after showtime. Friday night, they had a DJ at the TGI Fridays.
Okay, there you go. That's something.
Spinning like Eazy-E, throwing hard R's.
Really? At TGI Fridays?
Throwing hard R's in some NWA tracks, and I'm just getting onion rings like, wow, all right.
Oh, that's funny, dude. That is so...
Bopping along to it. And then went there the next night at like midnight. Lots of kids. Some wild choices going on.
Yeah. Well, right on, man. Shows were good?
Yeah, shows were, you know, went and did the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just out doing the thing. You got the big trip. You're out there slowly raising cholesterol levels across the Southern United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Oh, speaking of which, got a new ran across a new number one in my culinary power rankings. Got a new champion.
Number one of what?
Number one, seriously, best ribs I have ever had. Best pork spare ribs.
Yeah.
And I had them 2 days in a row in two different cities, but from the same restaurant. I'll explain. Rodney Scott's. I don't know if I've talked about Rodney Scott's. Rodney Scott's, he's kind of blowing up. He's this cool black.
I've heard the name.
He's a black dude that's popping up on a lot of the TV shows, the barbecue shows and stuff. And the original Rodney Scott's is in Hemingway, South Carolina. And I've talked about this, and I'll be honest. He's known He's known for whole hog barbecue. And I, years ago, myself and James Austin Johnson, it was that tour that we were doing together with, where I got the van totaled. Mm-hmm. But a few days later, we're in our rental replacement van. So I think we had a show in Charleston. So we go about 2 hours off.
I bet you kept touring after that, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Didn't miss a date.
Getting in a head-on wreck is a fine reason to be like, you know what? I'm going to dip.
Yeah. No, I did, you know, finished the whole run. Anyway, went 2 hours off the beaten path to go to Rodney Scott's in Hemingway, South Carolina to get some whole hog barbecue and was very underwhelmed. It just, okay. I don't know if it's him per se as much as it is just that Carolina style pulled pork. I'm not a huge fan. A lot of times it's dry. A lot of times it's not, the smokiness isn't there. I'm not crazy about that vinegary barbecue sauce. So it was just a little underwhelming. But he has since franchised out a little bit. He's actually, I think he's under the umbrella. Our buddy Wes Van Horn used to work for a restaurant group. And under this group, they have Big Bad Breakfast, which I'm always raving about. Yeah. They've got Jim and Nick's Barbecue based out of Birmingham. They got this thing called, a place called Little Donkey, this kind of southern take on Mexican food. But I think Rodney Scott's is now part of that group. So they've got, I think, the second one, or the first franchise one he did, I think, was in Birmingham. Like I said, his original place was in South Carolina. So and then he also has one in Atlanta. So Wednesday, the day before the special, I was in Birmingham, and Wes and I hooked up and went to Rodney Scott's, and these pork spare ribs blew my mind. Blew my mind. Just so big and meaty, so smoky, just perfect. A lot of times you get ribs, and they might overcook them, and it kind of shrinks them down. A lot of times they undercook them and they're big and meaty, but they're real tough. These were so big and meaty, so tender, so smoky, just nailed it. So the next day I'm in Atlanta. Well, yeah, I was in Atlanta for 5 days, but I think maybe Friday, the day after the special, I was like, well, let's see if this was just a fluke. Because like I said, they got a Rodney Scott's in Atlanta now.
Sure.
Took our
I like you trying, like, oh, I should eat these ribs again.
Yeah, yeah. I want to make
sure if it was a fluke.
Yeah, exactly. But I took
like the college dude, like, I, just to make sure I'm not gay, I better blow this guy again.
So I took,
just to be certain, I don't want to live with curiosity my whole life, you know.
So I took our buddies Gilbert and Andy Sanford, Gilbert Lau and Andy Sanford, and I went over to the Atlanta Rodney Scott's, and dude. No fluke. Just perfect. Perfection. All best, literally the best ribs I've ever had. So congrats to Rodney Scott's. They got one in Birmingham. They got one in Atlanta. I think they got a few more here and there. I don't even know if that original one in South Carolina had ribs. I think really all they had was just pulled pork and like beans and slaw. But they're kind of expanding their menu a little bit. And, oh, dude, it was just... Andy, Gilbert, and I, we sat outside, and the thing to do with barbecue, and ironically, Wes and I did this, the same thing in Birmingham, go on off-peak hours. So in both meals, the one in Birmingham with Wes and the one in Atlanta with Andy and Gilbert, both meals, we went about 3 o'clock, and we're just sitting in the back, and it looked like the barbecue mafia having a meeting. You know, we just got basically the whole restaurant to ourselves. We're just back there, this big table, just plates everywhere. It just looks like
wheeling and dealing. That's a question to bring up about these mob guys always being like slowed down with pasta.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, we always meet up at this carb-heavy. I go right to sleep after a meal like that.
Oh,
There had to be some strategy of like we hit them. Right when the tiramisu comes out, you know, that's when they're the fullest. They're going to be slow to move. Their guns probably repositioned because they already got their pants undone. So they don't know where to reach for their piece.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just think that that's...
Yeah, that's some logic
seems
to
like,
that.
Seems like a line of thinking.
Yeah, well, we would have definitely been whacked if there was a hit out on us, because we were definitely slow moving getting out of that place. Well, and hit a few other spots on the tour, and I'm not going to name names. I do need to, you know, a month or two ago, I did my barbecue power rankings, and
you sure did.
Nobody on the actual list, but there was a couple of honorable mentions that if I had to do it over again, it probably would fall off that list. And I'm not going to name names, but I went to two different places that I had mentioned and just completely underwhelmed. Like, oh, wow. I put my name on this stuff, Kyle. You know, I want my word.
People are going out on behalf. Dave sent me.
I want my word to mean something. And, one in Atlanta, one in Memphis. Just not making the next list. I was very underwhelmed. So you can probably.
Something tells me this list is never going to be set in stone.
Yeah, probably
something
not.
Tells me
it's fluid.
As long as you got teeth in your head, these reviews will be fluctuating.
And I got one other food related complaint, and I'll shut up and we'll move on.
All right.
Let's see. Monday was our last day in Atlanta. So we decided to take a little day trip up to my old neck of the woods, up in North Georgia, up in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains, up in Waleska and Jasper. Went up to Ellijay. My family used to love to just, when I was little, you know, we didn't have money to go do fun stuff. So it's just like, get in the car, we're going to go up to Ellijay and look at apples. And we just, that's big apple
country. Wouldn't even pick them?
No, we wouldn't pick them. We'd go to these apples.
Pickings for rich folks.
That's right.
We just get to watch, we're going to go watch people
pick
apples.
We just get the ones that are on the ground loose.
We can pick them and then let other people have them, and that's just called work.
Went up to this apple house in Ellijay where, I don't want to name their name, but I remember one of the highlights was going up there, and it's like this big country store barn type thing. It's just everything apples, like 10 different varieties of apples, and then you got apple pie and apple cider and apple candy and apple shampoo and just anything you could imagine with apples. And part of the fun was they'd make little fried pies, little hand pies. And I don't know if maybe I was just a kid and didn't know any better, but boy, it was just hot garbage. It was just a big old disappointment. And I think I was describing it to Katie. I was like, this tastes like a recipe from like 1850. And it probably is. Like, it just tasted like,
okay,
like there was way too much dough and very little apple. And then on the outside, like if we were going to sit down and construct a good hand pie, you know, you got to have the good dough, the good crisp flaky dough, and you got to have the good filling. But what to me, one of the most important parts of like a little hand pie or snack cake or something, you got to get some sort of sugary glaze going on the outside. That outside's got to be sugary. It was just doughy, just tasteless dough mush. And I was just very disappointed. I don't know if they've fallen off or maybe I just had stupid taste buds when I was a kid. But I was like, this is the thing that we used to drive an hour for and get excited about? Was this?
I can't believe the hill people of Appalachia haven't advanced into the 21st century of cooking.
Yeah. Yeah, it did taste like, you know, a recipe that's been around for 200 years. And it probably is the case. I don't know. But it's like, man, y'all got to get a little sugary glaze going on that.
Listen, you can still taste the feet that they use to knead the dough, and I appreciate the old-timey way of doing things, but take a washcloth to them. You know, don't walk to town to get the ingredients, then come back and just go stomping on the flour and the sugar and what have you.
Yeah, there's pine straw in this pie. What is this?
Fiber.
But other than that...
hold on. I'm sorry. Hold on a second.
Uh-oh.
Somebody's coming in. I gotta
check it out. Grab that.
Oh my God, Dave Stone.
Oh my God, speak of the devil.
Are you guys recording the Boogie Monster podcast right now?
Dude, this is our Halloween episode.
But Dave, let me tell you, I've been listening. I've been hearing you're going out. You're recording your own comedy special.
Yeah.
For the universe. for the you're telling people these jokes good enough. We're putting them on videotape or whatever technology would be prevalent. So proud of you, Dave.
Thank you, Mothman. How'd you even hear about it?
I'm up there, man. I'm up there with the signals. You know? I'm up there flying around where the internet gets broadcast.
Gotcha. Okay.
I intercept, you know, on account of being a moth and, I can't see too well, but I'm attracted to light and frequencies.
Okay.
And so I pick up good vibes, baby, you know. But seriously, though, I can't stay long. I wanted to drop by, say congratulations on a wonderful comedy special. I was flown around there too many bugs to compete with down in Georgia.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
You got other stuffs going on. Heard a new term for wasps. Somebody called them sweat bees.
Sweat bees. Okay.
That's one. Those guys scare me. I don't mess around with those guys one nut and two bit.
Oh, I thought maybe that was part of your diet, being a Mothman.
Not one. No, but no, not me, baby. Speaking of diets, Mothman's only here to remind you that, as we got All Hallows Eve coming up here.
Uh-huh.
As you know, as well as I think that St. Mothman's Eve is coming up soon.
Yeah? When is that?
I'm hard-pressed to remember the exact date myself. Uh-huh. It's a floating holiday like Thanksgiving, probably.
Okay, yeah, maybe. Not on the same date, but, per se. Yeah.
You know, it's truly the holiday lives in your heart. And by that, I mean with cholesterol, because on account of the holiday, I just want to remind all the good boys and girls out there, St. Mothman's Eve, I want you to leave out your French breads and your hot beefs with a, optional side of au jus. But I know climate beware, it might get cold and get a little greasy. Uh-huh. And a Mothman would skip putting that on the beef.
Okay.
But the jardiniere.
You gotta have the jardiniere.
Doesn't matter.
Uh-huh.
Jardiniere doesn't matter if hot or cold.
Yeah.
The beef, if you wanted to go to the full extent, leave a little crock pot out so it stays warm.
Okay. I like that.
Mothman ain't gonna be mad at you do that.
That's right. Okay.
But you get power thieves out there. You leave an extension cord going out of the front of your house in certain areas. You got people charging up who knows what
on your dime. Yeah, you don't want that. You don't want some mobile meth lab sucking off your juice there.
I don't want that. Hey, if you're out there, I know I'm flying around DuPage County, Lake County. I go out to, I see people in Lake Oswego. They're power thefts. People plugging in old Android phones to a cord left outside. Those things suck up more power than a Tesla car.
Yeah,
yeah. Probably,
I would imagine.
I'm sponsored by Apple products.
Mothman, I was looking online recently, getting ready for Halloween and thinking about buying a costume or something. And I actually,
you got it.
I stumbled across a couple of Mothman costumes. Were you aware of this? Is this official merch?
I have some trademarked. There's a little kickback involved. Let me ask you this, Dave. Uh-huh. Is it a sexy Mothman?
I mean, as far as Mothman go, these were pretty hot, you know?
I mean, not to say that I'm not already, like, quite a catch, you know? I'm not going to say that. But maybe there's a more lascivious one that I did not authorize, and that one's got the little butt cheeks cut out of it. But if that's the kind of party you're trying to go to, then listen, Mothman's not here to stand in the way of you having a good time. No. I would like to see my fractions of a cent kickback on the costume, but if it's because of that, then they lose the licensing. You could also buy the one that I do get paid for, the one licensed through Spirit Halloween. Cut the butt cheeks out yourself, therefore make the costume as grandiose or as demure as you choose.
That's true, and tailored to your own specific buttocks.
Yeah, maybe you got a whole piece of meat you want to be hanging out back there, or just a little peekaboos. Just a little how you doings. You walk by, is that? And you say, yeah, buddy, it is.
There you go. That's fantastic.
Like a moth to a flame.
Yeah, I see what you did there.
These cheeks to a good time. All right, I got that. So I just want to remind all the good
Boogie Monster listeners that just to put the French bread out on your doorsteps.
Uh-huh.
Even, you know what? Even if you live in an apartment,
yeah,
put it out in the hallway.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and maybe throw a little aluminum foil or something for you to kind of, you know, get it to go. Take it with you.
Something, yeah, I'd prefer a reusable Tupperware container that I would just to keep it fresh, I'd leave that at your doorstep.
Okay. Okay, you just...
My man doesn't take it to go. My man's going to eat it right there. That's why you might catch me.
Uh-huh. That's...
You hear somebody, you know, and leave the... leave it. I prefer it dipped, but I understand colder temperatures are not conducive to leaving the au jus out for such an occasion. So just wet. I go just wet.
Gets congealed and... Yeah.
Yeah, so just wet, just drizzled. But happy Halloweens to you. One of these days, that kid Kyle, he's just such a rascal. I think he's out there shouting at these guys doing construction work on the sidewalk.
Yeah, he's easily distracted.
He doesn't realize that you guys are doing this award-winning program.
That's true.
All right, Dave, I just want to say that congratulations on your comedy special. I was over there. I was flying over Atlanta. I was flying over the tiniest of 5 points.
Yeah.
I was up there in bookends.
Uh-huh. Buckhead?
Bucks heads.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Bucks
heads.
Uh-huh. The tiny 5 points.
I was into all the other parts of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
The parts where Cat Williams lives. That guy just makes me laugh a whole bunch.
Yeah, he's funny. He's a funny fella.
We share a similar body type, me and Cat Williams.
I would imagine.
You know, he's a small, energetic man on account of, I think, glucose levels and various substances. But honestly, if you want to know the full secret, Dave, you put a pair of wings on Cat Williams, you got yourself Chicago Batman right there.
There you go. Yeah, I never made that connection, but yeah, you're really connecting the dots for us. I like that.
I say the N-word a lot less.
Oh, okay, good. I thought you were going to go another direction with that, but... yeah, you got to be careful with
you
that.
You think I say it more? Nobody says it more than Cat Williams.
I mean, that'd be hard to do.
I say it less than Cat Williams. Am I saying I say it none? I'm not saying that, but I'm saying I say it less than Cat Williams.
Well, that's a good starting point, so that's something we should all shoot for.
So, yeah,
so
that's my message. Happy St. Mottman's Eve. Please try to say the N-word less than Cat Williams, especially on account if you're not a black person or perhaps a slight insect human hybrid, because then the genetics are all messed up, and just avoid saying any kind of epithets in general.
Yeah.
When I was a young Mott boy, I grew up on a lot of hip-hop music.
Who were some of your favorites?
As a Mott boy, I was saying, well, of course, N.W.A., which is, I almost said it right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't. Yeah.
I almost slipped up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Thank God this guy with the leaf blower is showing up outside the window.
Yeah.
Just in time for me to... I'm going to say bye. I'm going to let you have a great show, a great Halloween. Dave, tell Kyle one of these days I would love to see him.
Yeah.
French bread.
It's a shame you guys
beef.
Always miss each other.
Jardiniere for everybody. It is a shame, but...
That makes sense.
If it's meant to be, it'll be.
Mothman, always a pleasure, buddy. You be safe out there, and happy.
You betcha. Don't forget.
Happy Halloween.
Oh, that guy's right. It's like he's blowing the leaves off of my face right now. Jesus Christ, with the guy out here. Are there leaves in the room that you record this? It seems as though there might be, given how close this guy is just standing to the actual window of which I am behind.
Well, he's thorough, that fella.
He really just standing there. What's he, checking his fucking phone? All right. This guy, okay. Oh, my God, the characters are melding. I got to go. Happy Mottman's Eve. Roast beef, jardiniere, and French bread for everybody. Easy, a brother that'll smother your mother, make your sister think she loves him. I fuck up the world. Dave, I haven't listened to it in a long time. Okay, bye.
Bye, Mothman. Oh boy! Right on cue. What are the odds here on Halloween that we would have a visit by our beloved Mothman? Kyle, where's Kyle at?
Oh my God! Oh my God! All right,
Kyle,
wow, this is
you missed it again, dude. Where have you been?
I had to go out and I had to ask this guy if he could actually blow the leaves closer to the house.
Oh, okay. Well, sounds like he's
he's responding. I don't know if he picked any of that up. I'm hoping he just paused while I was gone, given this.
Well,
sound
Well, no.
What's happening out here?
Mothman. Mothman dropped in as soon as you went out there and yelled at that dude.
You gotta be fucking kidding
me,
man.
No kidding, dude. He always asks about
you. I'm starting to think this dude's not even real.
I'm running out of excuses when he's, you know, when he shows up and he's like, where's Kyle? It's like, I just imagine you open the door. Like, did you let him in?
I had a legitimate excuse to go outside. I had to go talk to this leaf blower guy and make sure he was everything was on the highest power setting it could be on.
That is obnoxious. I think LA is going to ban those next year. I think I read something that no leaf blowers in LA in 2023.
Yeah, they've been doing that for 20 years.
Yeah. All right, our next partner has a product I use literally almost every day. Of course, I'm talking about Athletic Greens. I started taking Athletic Greens, about a year and a half ago? Because as you probably know, my weight and fitness and health is just a yo-yo and a roller coaster and all those other stupid metaphors. But I'm up, I'm down, I'm up, I'm down. But I feel like I'm kind of getting the hang of it now with the help from Athletic Greens. Well, what is this stuff? Well, with one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, aging, all that stuff. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free, what have you. Supports better sleep quality and recovery. Supports mental clarity and alertness. I need all that I can get. Very affordable, less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health. It's cheaper than your coffee or cold brew habit, I guarantee you that. Athletic Greens was created when the founder experienced a ton of gut health issues and ended up on a complicated supplement routine to recover. Cost him over $100 a day. One scoop, 8 to 12 ounces of water, no blender, no raw veggies that you've got to wash and peel and chop and all that stuff. Just one scoop, 8 to 12 ounces of water, shake it up, suck it down, boom, you're good to go. It's so simple. It's so effective. It has definitely helped me kind of keep things. Now, it's not a miracle worker. You know, when I'm out on the road and I eat two slabs of barbecue and a gallon of collard greens every day, it's, you know, I can't blame that on Athletic Greens. But if I can keep my meals reasonable, suck down one of these every day, it's definitely, I've seen the improvement. I've seen the effects that it has. It also curbs my appetite, which, that's a job in and of itself. Right now, to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/boogie. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/boogie to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/boogie. All right, the holidays are coming up. That's a lot of fun. We all like the holidays, but here's the thing. Criminals like them too. Did you know that over the holidays, property crimes like burglaries and package thefts spike nationally? That's why our friends at Simply Safe Home Security are offering 50% off their award-winning security system so that more families can feel safe and secure this holiday season. Order your Simply Safe system for half off today and enjoy advanced security and greater peace of mind this holiday season. Here's why I love it. It's simple to use. You download the app. They walk you through each step. Took me less than 30 minutes. It's effective. With 24/7 professional monitoring service, SimpliSafe is there for you night and day as soon as you need them. Trained professionals on the other end of that phone, not a voicemail, not a robot, not a voice automated system. SimpliSafe was named the best home security system of 2022 by U.S. News & World Report, third year in a row. SimpliSafe is whole home security with advanced sensors for every room, window, and door, HD security cameras for inside and out, smarter ways to detect motion that alert you only when a threat is real, and even hazard sensors that detect fires, floods, and other threats to your home. Don't miss your chance for massive savings on my favorite security system. Get 50% off any new system at simplysafe.com/boogie. This is their biggest discount of the year. That's simplysafe.com/boogie.
Can I, non-Boogie Month related, I cut off a white BMW yesterday on purpose.
Just because it was a white BMW.
No, no. I'll give you the whole story.
I didn't know you were in Glendale. I thought you were okay.
Turns out those they sell them everywhere, but okay. Dickheads buy them. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I gotta get over to the right lane of the highway to get on this exit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a semi truck, and then there's an amount of distance in front of the semi truck because it takes semis longer to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
I am in the lane next to the left of the semi truck. I pull up far into the gap that the semi has.
Mm-hmm.
I put on my signal to let the semi know I'm gonna go in that lane, but I'm doing it slowly to be like, hey, yeah, I'm coming in to this gap that you have. It's a large enough gap.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm slowly doing it, and a white Beamer just tries to straight up scoop the whole spot.
Ah.
Like come in flying hot as I'm just going over the line. And I just decide, nah, I'm just going to keep going. I'm just going to keep. And he's right there. And it's like, I just gambled on, you'll break.
Good for you, man.
And yeah, a lot of horns and fingers. And I was like, nah, your opinion doesn't matter.
I had not an incident, but
felt good. And I felt right. I felt correct. My signal was on, and I was making the merge.
Yeah.
Because I was giving a semi truck safe distance.
Yeah.
So I was like, nah, you sit on it, buddy.
It's amazing. I mean, that's one thing I really do. I have to work on is my road rage. Like I'll just be in a great mood, having a great day, and then I get that, and it's like, you fucking idiots, just idiots.
Well, let's, Dave.
I'm all right.
This is the Halloween episode.
Halloween, buddy.
What is spooky that has happened in the world? I watched a real good movie last night.
Really?
Started a, my routine with Rachel out of town is just get a little stoned, watch some scary movies.
There you go.
And I know I was going over that list last time.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Barbarian last night.
Now, what's this?
Apparently written by one of the whitest kids you know.
Oh, okay. It took me a second to register that. I was like, who?
Okay. Who could that be?
Who's the whitest
Dave,
kid
you
I know?
You know an awful lot of white people.
I know a lot of white people. I like those kids.
Yeah, I'm not super familiar with all their stuff, but I've always, liked what I've seen and, mm-hmm. Who I've met out of them have been nice. But I don't know which one it is, but I read that he was a member of that group.
Okay.
And it's called Barbarian, and it's got layers, man. It is a good, scary movie that...
And it's not a comedy at all?
Some of it... No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
Interesting.
And slightly comedic from the performance of Justin Long. You know who that guy is?
Yeah.
He's kind of around a lot, and he mm-hmm. plays... He always seems like a guy who's like just the nice guy and stuff, mm-hmm. but he plays... Not that guy in this.
Mm-hmm.
And
we plug his podcast on this show.
Do we?
Yeah, they're paying customer.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, hey, thanks for the money, Justin. And great job in this movie. Also, Kurt Braunohler makes a little appearance.
Really? I love Kurt.
Yeah, but it's a layered film.
Okay.
And it got me... Gave me the heebies of the GB, the heebiest GBs.
Okay.
We are still.
I'll put that on the list. Yeah,
right here.
How annoying is this?
I wish it was. I wish I could say, my house is surrounded by marauders. Well, all right. Full disclosure, we do have a lawn guy that we hire. So my rage is not directed. Like, he's actually a sweet man. His name's even Angel.
Oh, and okay, so you caused this problem.
Yeah. Yeah. It happens on Wednesdays at this time.
Okay.
And I said yes to recording.
Yeah.
So I haven't been here. I forgot.
Okay.
And it is, dude, I left here on Friday morning for shows in Dallas,
mm-hmm.
and it was summer. Thursday I was out as I was sweating having lunch outside at the food carts.
Mm-hmm.
I got back Monday. And it is full fall, 45 degrees, raining, all the leaves fell off the trees.
Wow.
Hence, my man out here working overtime. All right. It seems like there may be a lull in.
What kind of blowers he got? He got a steel blower? Is it white and orange backpack blower?
It is white and orange.
Yeah, those are good.
He just walked by. All right, well, I'll let him know.
Is the back part round?
Sorry, everybody.
Is the back part rounded or squared off?
I mean,
he
walked out of frame here.
I miss talking about landscaping equipment. I always get excited when I see a trailer. Listen,
I was trying so desperate to redirect the Boogie Monster to something scary, but we're back to lawn care and road rage.
I got something scary for you. You want to talk some scary shit?
Well, let me finish. I'm going to say Barbarian, great movie. It was on, I forget what I streamed it on, HBO Max, I believe. It was just in the theaters. And so I saw somebody tweet that it was on HBO Max, so I watched that, and it was great. I tried to watch a different scary thing. Oh, the All Hallowed Eve, which is like based on the Frightener series, and it was just meh. Didn't do much for me.
Okay.
It was more like, look at what the makeup department can do.
Yeah.
But the stories were whack. Story was real good in Barbarian, too. And then I went to bed trying to listen to, like, it was just called True Scary Stories podcast, but I can't do this shit home alone, man.
Oh, yeah?
It was one of those, like, I'm just about to fall asleep. And then there's just a detail about this woman being in a house where she's always feeling like she's being watched. And then our house is the kind where, like, if the heat goes on, it's small enough that, like, it'll move the doors, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if the heat goes on in one room where the door's almost closed, it'll kind of close that door.
Yeah, a little vacuum there.
Yeah, and that just, like, jars me awake. I'm like, all right, fuck this, man.
Isn't that the most fun, though? You like to stick your toe in those waters.
It's fun until you're exhausted.
Yeah.
It's fun until you're like, I really am tired. I made the choice to listen to something scary to also drift off to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then I am to blame. It's rounded in the back. The leaf blower is rounded in the back.
Okay, yeah, it's one of the newer models. That's a good one. It's a bigger engine, more even noisier than the old ones. Okay.
Well, so that's my new scary movie recommendation on top of the ones I was saying before.
Right on, man. I watched a couple. I rewatched Malignant. We talked about that maybe last Halloween. The twist on that still, even though I knew it was coming, like, holy shit, that's what's going on with this person. Wow.
Rewatchable horror movies is a good thing to look at.
And I also watched that new, I guess it's the latest Halloween. Is it Halloween Ends or something like that? Halloween Ends?
Oh, yeah. I heard people were not jazzed about it.
I enjoyed it. You know, I'm not such a horror fan that I've got hard opinions one way or the other. So, you know, I'm sure some of the purists that really love the originals may not have liked it. But it was entertaining. I enjoyed it. Pretty good.
I tried watching The Watcher on Netflix.
I think I saw that one.
Well, the original story, I think we may have talked about it. The original story is very creepy.
Mm-hmm.
It's about this family that kind of find their dream home in New Jersey. And which that is a sentence right there.
I was hoping you would gloss over that.
There's super fancy parts in New Jersey.
Of
they
course.
Find this house, and they just start getting letters, like letters left in their mailbox, or letters delivered, like anonymous letters, like just detailing how much they know about the family, you know, how about, like, oh, who used to live in the house, and just somebody almost stalking them, but just with letters.
Okay.
And they set up cameras. They do all this stuff. They can never catch him. They can never trace where the letters come from to a point where they can find anybody, to the point where the family moves. And that actual story, that's where, like, imagine just getting letters like, hey, I see you have two beautiful children.
Yeah, what, you know? I would not like that.
And, you know, and like, it's just slow psychological torture.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, and I think I listened to some podcasts about it, and it was, like, very intense, and, like, the family just took this huge loss on the house to, like, because they just had to move, you know? And the TV show they made about it sucks. It just sucks real bad. And, you know, it just... they just cornballed it up, and it was They made it. It's got all great people in it. And it's funny because I'm talking about it only because I saw Rojo, I just saw him tweet about it. I think I went on Twitter last night. I forgot, scared listening to a podcast. I'm like, I got to just look at funny stuff. I got to see jokes.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, man, how many episodes are people lasting through this? He's like, I'm on episode 4, and only because Richard Kind is in it.
Oh, yeah. Love him.
but he's like, and then Rojo's like, he owes me for this, which I thought was a funny thing to say about watching a show just because one actor you like is in it. You owe me for this one, Richard. I gave up pretty quick. It was just corny.
That's the new one that's on Netflix.
That's what they're trying to do with it.
Is that on Netflix?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a billboard like right across the street from me with that. Yeah.
Maybe it's because I knew the original story, or it just, so I thought it was going to be a little bit more psychologically scary, but they just added so many fictional components to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what everybody's doing. Like, hey, this concise story that we could probably make a movie out of, let's beat the shit out of it over 10 episodes.
Yeah, I felt that way about the new Dahmer series. I mean, obviously it's an interesting story, but that could have been a movie or at best one of those 4-part series. You know, they do a lot of those, what do they call, limited series where it's only 4 episodes. They didn't need 10 episodes of that.
You mean Joe Pera Eats You?
Yeah, I couldn't help but keep thinking about that.
Like, we talked about that before. Yeah, I couldn't stop laughing.
Oh, my God. Said that. Joe Pera.
You guys want to get some brewskis? I didn't. I was, okay, tell me if this joke is in bad taste. I just kind of started trotting it out. But just about hearing, I realized, like it was that story, it was a couple weeks ago, some lady got, like, escaped from a house in St. Louis where she was held captive.
Hmm.
And I know we don't go into the serial killer stuff too much. But this guy, he just had, like, women captive in cages and shit in his house. And she, like, escaped from his basement. And I've just been making the joke about, like, serial killers have houses with basements? And, like, people with real careers can't get away from renting one bedrooms.
Yeah. Did
serial killers have enough of a worldly skill?
Well, it's a home and office.
Truly bad taste. Mm-hmm. But I was, like, trying to joke about, like, yeah, like, serial killers can't rent. Not for long.
Yeah,
anyway.
You're not getting.
But then Dahmer pulled that shit off in an apartment.
Yeah,
until he didn't.
Yeah, that is crazy. He kept complaining
about.
But then
the smells. Like the neighbors were like, "Yeah, we called you all the time for this psycho."
Yeah,
and then finding out the cops that dismissed all of it got promoted.
Yeah, way to go. Well done.
Good union.
Yeah, I guess.
Anyway, side rant.
That's okay. Yeah, I'll there's so many good horror movies I got to cram in this week. Well, full disclosure, we're recording this 5 days before Halloween, so I've got a few.
But
few
it's days. The Halloween season.
Mm-hmm. Halloween season. Dude, okay, I told you I was looking out the 11th floor window of a hotel in New Orleans. I didn't tell you which hotel. I'm in the Garden District. You ever spent any time here in the Garden District? Beautiful.
I've been there. I know where it is.
It's where, like, St. Charles Avenue, the trolley kind of runs right through this neighborhood. And last time I was here with you, back in December of last year, I stayed an extra day and just wandered around on foot all day. And I wandered down here to the Garden District and was just awestruck at the beauty. Like, some of these old houses, just so beautiful. But I wanted to stay here. And there's not many hotels in this area. A lot of the hotels are in the Arts and Warehouse District or downtown or the French Quarter. And I usually stay in the Warehouse District or the French Quarter. But I thought, why not mix it up and check out the Garden District? Mm-hmm. Well, when I booked this hotel, I had no idea. But I'm staying at the Pontchartrain Hotel in the Garden District. Many blogs and articles written about the most haunted hotels in New Orleans. This comes in number one in many of those lists. I had no idea that it was a haunted hotel, but it's an old place and it's beautiful. And I'm on the 11th floor where in 1929, I guess there were these two sisters, presumably of adult age. I couldn't find their age, but I think one was jealous of the other, and I think maybe there was a dude involved or something, but one sister got revenge on another sister by setting her apartment on fire on the 11th floor back in 1929, and I think they said there was at least 25 people that perished in that fire, and they think that they're all 25 of those people are still around. And right here on the 11th floor, people see, ghostly figures of these two sisters wandering around. And then on the 9th floor, apparently there's a lot of activity around the ice machine, because when one of those gals set the place on fire, a husband and wife duo on the 9th floor perished. And apparently a lot of people see weird stuff on the 9th floor, specifically around the ice machine. I always like to be near ice and vending. You know, it's a little easier. But I don't know
the last time I got ice in a hotel.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I like to do a little cocktail here and there, so I get the ice. And I haven't seen or experienced anything. Like I said, I didn't know it was supposed to be haunted when I booked it, and I didn't know that until after we checked in. But as soon as we walked in, and maybe it's just because it's an old hotel and it's New Orleans, and that's in the back of my mind, but like, there's a weird vibe here. It's a weird vibe. Also, apparently there was this famed pianist back in the 20s and 30s named Tuts Washington. Is it Toots or Tuts? T-U-T-S. I think that's Tuts Washington.
Go Tuts.
He played in the bar downstairs a lot. The bar's still here, the Bayou Bar, and in the 20s and 30s. He passed away, let's see, when did he pass away? In the 60s, I think. No, he passed away in 84. Anyway, a lot of guests and employees have reported hearing piano being played way after the bars closed, you know, middle of the night kind of stuff. And apparently, so they think that Tuts Washington's ghost is still here. And then a common thing that multiple people have seen is a man in a tuxedo with two women, a woman on each arm. So there's just this trio, these two gals and one dude, people see coming out of one of the rooms and walking down in the hallway that leads to the Bayou Bar. So, a lot of weird stuff going on, apparently, here at the Pontchartrain Hotel. And I'm on the 11th floor where those two sisters, or one sister set the whole place ablaze. So, yeah.
I mean, booze and folklore will always add up to amplified activity.
That's true.
But not to say that it's a storied city. If people have not been, you know, it's always just, if you like spooky stuff, it's great. If you just like some, you know, wild history of the United States, it's a good town to visit. I would encourage everybody. We were there in December of last year.
Yeah.
And we saw old John DiMaggio.
Right. Yep.
On the street, remember?
Yep.
And
just
he,
walking by.
John, the voice of Bender from Futurama. And we had done some stuff. And it was weird. I didn't recognize him at first. And he was out there looking all old timey. He's like, oh, I'm here shooting a thing. I can't really talk about it. And he came out to the show. And he was shooting a new interview for a vampire series.
Oh, okay.
I got invited to, I'll get some random invites, and my manager's kind of like, you should go. It's good to show your face around these. It's whatever. We went to the premiere, like a screening of it. It wasn't like the stars were there or anything. But we went to it when I was down in LA, Rachel and I. And so we watched it, and they're like, I think maybe it was the environment in which we were watching it. It was pretty fun. I mean, it's set in New Orleans. It's, you know, Interview with a Vampire, which I think I did finally watch it not too long ago, which, say what you want, it is kind of an interesting take on, like, yeah, you've been alive for 300 years. And it's somebody now in modern day interviewing a vampire, telling about how they became a vampire and all this stuff. And people are real excited because the vampires are gay and they straight up fucked. So that's part of it. If you're squeamish about, you know, dude, vampires getting some, don't watch it, but yeah. It was fun because the screening, everybody was like, yeah, real excited, these vampires. And they also floated. I don't know. I didn't know that was a vampire thing, that they float when they fuck. I think they took some liberties.
That's hard to do.
But I barely can stay in the pocket when I'm just horizontal.
Mm-hmm.
Stay in the pocket was not the metaphor term. It sounded too literal. As soon as I said it, I was like, that. I don't mean that literal. I mean it as staying in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
Also still goes literally. But filmed in New Orleans, saw John's character, who he played in it. And it's like, it's a pretty cool representation of New Orleans in the early 1900s, I believe, is when they were depicting it.
Okay. Is that out
so
yet?
I think it is.
Okay.
And it wasn't bad. It had some good spooky element. Again, maybe it's because of like seeing it with other people and people being excited about it. But just framing New Orleans in the early 1900s and knowing that if you go there today, you could still walk down streets and it has that feeling to it.
Mm-hmm.
With all the wrought iron balconies and like the history of it. Haunted or not, like when you walk down around any place that is, you could tell is old, it's like, ooh, all right, a little spooky.
That's nice. Yeah, this whole city just feels spooky.
Yeah. You just don't get that on the West Coast so much.
No, not as much. One more story I wanted to talk about before we wrap up here, being Halloween and all. Mm-hmm. This doesn't have anything to do with New Orleans, but not far from here, in Galveston, Texas. I think last week or the week before, and we've mentioned this several times, but the concept of, like, why aren't newer buildings haunted? Why are all mm-hmm. haunted buildings and haunted houses, you know, older? I don't have her name right now, but a listener sent me a message with an article about there's a Walmart in Galveston, Texas, on Seawall Boulevard. If anybody knows Galveston, it's the one on Seawall Boulevard that apparently is very haunted. A new, I guess that's a super Walmart, not one of those 70s low ceiling pre-super Walmarts. But this is haunted, apparently, specifically in the toy section.
By low prices. Sorry.
Apparently in the toy department, there's always toys missing. There's toys flying off the shelves. Apparently, yeah. I guess a lot of Walmarts, the way this article wrote it, said, well, most Walmarts are 24 hours, but not this one. I know a lot of Walmarts that aren't 24 hours. But anyway, apparently they had to stop the 24-hour schedule because late at night all the electronics would get fucked up, the cash registers and the computers and stuff would get messed up.
Really?
And the reason that this Walmart is apparently haunted is it sits on the same piece of land where the old St. Mary's Orphanage used to sit. And in the year 1900, a hurricane hit Galveston. And it apparently claimed like 6,000 lives. But more specifically, in the St. Mary's Orphanage, there's all these, you know, poor orphans and these nuns that ran it. Apparently, 90 kids, there was 93 kids in this orphanage. All but three died in the hurricane, and all 10 of the nuns died. So 90 kids and 10 nuns passed away in this hurricane, and this is messed up. In an attempt to kind of save everybody, some of the nuns started, they took clothesline, wrapped it around their waist and their wrist, and then wrapped it around, apparently, all 90 children. They just had, you ever been to like an amusement park and you see like a field trip and there's a bunch of 5-year-olds all kind of chained together,
yeah.
like tethered yeah. together? Well, apparently they tried that technique, and which is not a fun image to think about, like 90 kids all kind of linked together with a string of clothesline, but apparently some debris like fell on the clothesline and kind of sunk everybody. So they found 90 kids and 10 nuns all tethered together that had drowned, and apparently that orphanage sits right where this Walmart is. And also on the same plot of land is the Hotel Galvez, and it is supposed to be haunted. People hearing piano playing late at night, like I mentioned here at the Pontchartrain. Sounds of children running and playing at night when there's no children registered in the hotel, things of that nature. But and yeah, this Walmart, apparently a lot of people have had experiences, like I said, primarily in the toy aisle. Just whole pallets of toys go missing for days on end and then mysteriously reappear. And like I said, toys flying off the shelves, stuff like that. But yeah, what a rough tragedy. Yeah. 90 kids and 10 nuns all perished in a hurricane in 1900 right there in Galveston. So yeah, if you're in that area, maybe go check out either Hotel Galvez or the Seawall Boulevard Walmart. And apparently there's some weird stuff going down.
I'm trying to say that's sort of like, it's like a big cruise ship port. That's where we went, that heavy metal cruise I did, mm-hmm. left out of there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see at which hotel I stayed at, if it was, felt like an older hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sorry, 10 nuns and 90 kids, about my low prices crack.
Yeah.
Please look out for falling spirits. Okay.
Let's talk about ExpressVPN, Express Victor Papa November. Now, you know I'm not very tech savvy, but I do understand the concept of ExpressVPN because I've been using it for a couple of years. If I can use it, if I can figure it out, of course you can handle it. All right, using the internet without ExpressVPN, it's like leaving your laptop exposed at the coffee shop table while you run to the bathroom. Most of the time, you're probably going to be fine, depending on what kind of coffee shop it is. But one day, you come back out of the bathroom, boom, your laptop is gone. Every time you connect to an encrypted network, like cafes, hotels, airports, any hacker on that same network can gain access to your personal data. Passwords, financial details, what have you. It doesn't take much technical knowledge to hack someone, so they say. I have no idea how it's done. They just get some cheap hardware, hire a 12-year-old to do it, I don't know. But as we all know, in this modern age, our data is valuable. Hackers can make up to $1,000 per person selling personal info on the dark web. That's where ExpressVPN comes in. It's an encrypted tunnel. It creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet. Hackers can't steal your sensitive data. It's super secure. It'd take a hacker with a supercomputer over a billion years to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. I don't know how they quantify that, but hey, it's here in the copy. Easy to use. Fire up the app, click one button, you get protected. Works on all your devices, your phones, your laptops, tablets, whatever. Plus, like we've talked about before, you can get like Netflix, for example. The Netflix options we have in America may be different than the ones they have in the UK or other parts of the world. With ExpressVPN, there's ways to get that access to the other stuff that maybe we don't have right here in this country. I even figured out how to do that. I've used that a few times. Now I'm watching British period dramas typically I wouldn't care about, but now I'm sucked in because of ExpressVPN. Here's what you do. To secure your data online today, go to ExpressVPN. Again, that's Express Victor Papa November, VPN.com/boogie. That's ExpressVPN. .com/boogie. You're going to get an extra 3 months absolutely free. That's expressvpn.com/boogie.
I will give you one more recommendation, mm-hmm. not of a haunted place. How about this one? A book. Look out, the three of you that read. I have been... That's not... Every time I read, I'm like, why am I not doing this? Like, why am I not?
I have the same thought.
Sitting down with a book.
This is fun.
If I sat and watched TV, I'd be like, that's okay. But if I sit and read a book, I'm like, why? I should be doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
I picked up, it was an airport purchase. It was of whichever one of these weekends I was on my way out. And I was like, you know what? I haven't gotten down with a book in a while. And I went just like, all right, let me just see, like, let me get like a, I never do fiction books.
I'm fucked
like,
up well, no
I'm
books
read
lately.
A book. Yeah, I haven't been fucking with no books, man. Reading's for kids and nerds.
For poor people.
I saw like, I'm looking at like the airport, like here's all these bestsellers, whatever. And it was, I saw the name John Darnielle or Darnell. I don't mm-hmm. know how to pronounce it. I'm like, wait, that name. I know that name. It's the singer of the Mountain Goats. You know the band the Mountain Goats?
I do know the Mountain Goats, yeah.
Yeah. A prolific band.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot. I heard somewhere that the guy is an author also. And not only is he author, it's like this, he's a New York Times bestselling author. I think I was hanging out with my buddy Isaac Fitzgerald.
Mm-hmm.
Get his book, Dirtbag Massachusetts, just a memoir of a guy who's lived a sordid life.
Mm-hmm.
He's my pal, and I was hanging out with him.
Yeah, I met him in Nashville.
Well, you know, you met him. Yeah, yeah. He was in Nashville. He overlapped with us in Nashville. Yeah, so maybe that's why I was like, oh man, I got to get back to reading books.
Yeah, you got
a book called.
You got a friend who's a New York Times bestseller that would kind of make you want to read a little more.
Well, and it's, you know, like, but you hang out, it's like, he's not, like, you always think of somebody that wrote a book, this is me projecting, but, like, uh-huh. I bet authors think they're better than me.
Yeah.
That's absolutely what projection is. Isaac and I have known each other for over 10 years, and just because we just get drunk and are fucking idiots together. But then he goes and writes a New York Times bestselling book, but then we're also still drunk and being fucking idiots making bad jokes at each other. Which is why I love him. But so this book, John Darnielle, it's called Devil House, caught me right away. I'm like, all right, a spooky book for Halloween. I never read a lot of Stephen King. I never got into the stuff. Let's try and jumpstart that. So I'm reading this book. I'm not finished with it yet, but you're talking about haunted places. And this is more of like, from what I have right now, I got about a third of it left. But it's a true crime author. It's a book written from the point of view of a true crime author who has already written a successful book about true crime, but then learning, like, it's critical of the genre of true crime because through his research, he learns the actual story about what, like, really happens where somebody vilifies somebody in a true crime story. But through his research, he's like, oh, actually, they weren't the villain. They were defending themselves. And now he's in the midst of living in the house where another true crime happened. And trying to also put that story forward. It's difficult to explain.
Okay.
It's like a story within a story, but it's not spooky haunted as much as it is. Oh, we're all consuming all this true crime all the time and getting the media's version of what happened versus what actually may have just happened. And in this case, 1986 with some teenagers that were just goofing around.
Wow. Okay.
So.
And what's the name of it again?
So.
Devil House?
This is called Devil House.
Okay.
And again, there might be, it's a big boy. It's 300 some odd pages. Mm-hmm. But then that's when you realize, like, oh, when you're enjoying a book, that's not an intimidation. This page count is not like, if it's a good book, you're just like, oh yeah, I just cruised through 70 pages sitting here.
Well, and the beauty of a book too, I mean, I guess the same could apply to a show.
Boogie Monster Book Club.
But, yeah, you can – you're not expected to sit down and finish a book in one setting. Like, you can space that out. I've read the same book for years, you know. Just chip it
it's
away
called
at
the Bible.
It.
Yeah. I'd like to tell you about it.
But, yeah.
That's one you could just go back to and back to.
But, no, I do get intimidated.
It's like a recipe for your soul.
I get intimidated by big books, you know, with all the crazy words and stuff. But then you have to remind yourself, like, oh, I'm
all the crazy words,
you know,
and stuff.
I could space this out. I don't have to get it all done tonight.
Now, that ain't homework, man. I'm a grown up. I'm doing this for fun.
That's right. I ain't got to fucking tell nobody
and,
about
and
this.
To look smart in the airport.
Mm-hmm.
I did notice, I was coming back from Dallas to Portland, book heavy flight. Mm. Or maybe it's like that weird thing of like, I'm reading a book. I'm like, look at all the smart people reading books. Huh?
Yeah.
Like, I almost wanted to be like, reading a book, huh? Me too.
Yeah.
Look at these nerds watching TV on their phones. Get your head out of your ass, losers. Read a book. I'd be that person if I had better headphones. If I decided to spring the $8 for the internet package, I'd be the same person. But I'm like, no, you bought this book. Read this book.
Yep. That honestly, I'm ashamed to admit, that's one of the only times I do read. I read on airplanes a lot, but like, and every time I'm doing, I'm like, why don't I do this at home, you fucking idiot?
Because when you're sitting at home, there's so many other distractions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But a good scary book, when it's your imagination filling in the spaces,
mm-hmm.
creating the images that they're describing, oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Or just like a podcast or something, you know, where it's like, oh, now it's up to me to put everything else together. Mm-hmm. And I can come up with some terrifying shit on my own.
Well, that's what we're doing here. We're leaving it up to the listener to do all the work.
But I was putting in like the, I have like the better, this sounds like a promo now. Who knows? We might be, get paid by a better app to, for like Headspace or whatever. But I was using Better Sleep. And I was just putting on sound effects so I could read without listening to the other chatter on the airplane.
Yeah,
and
that's
that,
cool.
That submersed me even more.
That's awesome. I like that.
Yeah, because you put on like rain or thunderstorm sound effects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like to listen to instrumental music a lot, like if I'm writing or something. Like lyrics and stuff will often distract me because I'm simple-minded. Yeah. But yeah, I never thought about that, like other sound effects and stuff while you're reading. That's cool.
Yeah, read it just to drown out the like the sounds that will take you out of it. Like I love eavesdropping or like there's a baby crying or something, but this is just put me in the zone, read for like 4 hours on the flight.
There you go. Good times, buddy. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Any dates?
Everybody?
Where are you gonna be coming up?
Oh, it doesn't fucking stop.
Yeah. November, December. What do you got?
Kansas City Improv this weekend. Indianapolis Helium, November 17th to the 19th. Fort Wayne on the 20th. Dahlia Hall for Canadiansgiving on the 21st and 22nd.
Nice.
Bakersfield, December 1st. Cobbs Comedy Club in San Francisco, November or December 2nd and 3rd. And I ain't doing shit. I'm going to be in Vegas, though. I'm doing Vegas, finally, everybody. Las Vegas.
When's that?
Wise Guys Comedy Club, January 12th through the 15th.
Ooh, I might come out and see you on that one.
I'm going to do some jokes out in Vegas.
Come out to any.
I've never played this one. I don't know what their setup is. If they do like showcase, like the comedy seller out there just has like three people doing 20.
Yeah,
or like four people doing 20.
Yeah, that's probably.
This is not it. This is headlining.
That's probably smart for Vegas. A lot of competition. Yeah,
I said yes to this. Apparently, this club, it's like not right on the strip, so people are going there with purpose, not just like wandering off the casino floor. Like, I love laughter.
Yeah. What's it?
Hey, and I'll say this. I'll give this credit to Dallas. Like, I saw some 10-gallon hats roll in.
Nice.
I saw a bachelorette party or two. Everybody was cool.
Wow.
If they didn't have fun, it wasn't – sorry, it wasn't made known to me, but it seemed like everybody in there was cool and having a good time, even if they were just wandering in to check out a show without hearing about something.
Nice. Well, that's
so good. Time for me to rethink my judgment.
Yeah.
Of seeing somebody in the audience and getting in my head about like, well, I better say something because there's a bachelorette party. It's like, no, if they're being cool, I can leave them alone.
There you go. Yeah. Let them have their fun.
Just never seen somebody that well behaved wearing a sash.
December. I'm taking November off because you know,
as you should.
2 weeks in a row is a lot for me. But December, I'll be in Lafayette, Louisiana. I'll be in Little Rock, Arkansas. I'll be in Bryan, Texas. I'll be in Fort Worth, Texas. Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Trinidad, Colorado. All those dates at dumbdavestone.com.
We working, baby.
Come see you boys. Buddy, have a great Halloween. You home alone tonight?
I am home alone tonight.
Yeah.
If you got a movie recommendation. Or you know what? I like going to the Reddit. People said nice thing about your special on the Reddit. I know I don't participate, but I read it. If you guys, it's almost always positive vibes over there. We also have the Patreon that we answer questions. But if Redditors, if you got some scary movie recommendations, even though this is coming out after Halloween,
this is coming out on Halloween. Yeah,
it's Halloween. On Halloween.
Halloween tonight. So yeah, you got time to get on there and give us some recs.
Just because tomorrow's November 1st doesn't mean it stops being scary.
Exactly. That's right.
And that would mean that yesterday is St. Mopman's Eve, I think.
I don't know.
All right.
All right, buddy. You keep it between the ditches and spook yourself out tonight. Eat some candy. And, yeah, man, I'm excited. I'm going to get into it tonight. I might even dress up. We'll see. Just sit in my apartment in a costume.
Yeah. What are you giving out? Just big tongs full of brisket?
No, I think I'm doing little chili cups and maybe sausage links and cornbread.
Dave gives out hot food on Halloween.
Savory it's Halloween. Strange. Yeah, savory Halloween. Swing on by.
Taste of Halloween over by the Stone Residences.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, man. Be good.
The Boogie Monster.
The rhythm, check the rhythm. There's a man walks the streets of London late at night. The rhythm, check the rhythm. With a little black bag that's oh so tight. The rhythm, check the rhythm. He's got a big black cloak hanging down his back. The rhythm. That's a one big cat I just hate to fight. The river, Jack the river. Well, it walks down the street, ever get him, it says your name, the blind.
Star Fans Audio, a podcast, a podcast network.